Amen. All right, I've already preached through the chapter of Revelation 13, but I'll use this by way of introduction as we talk about America. And let me just say, there's a pastor in Florida, had a sermon that I listened to part of it. America is, capital I-S, Babylon. I don't go that far, but let me just point out this, use this by way of introduction. Revelation 13, verse 1, I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads. All right? It's very important to take notice of that, for that we're going to study here today. Having seven heads and ten horns. Upon his horns, ten crowns. Upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. Now, let me remind you again, Revelation 17 says those seven heads are seven mountains upon which the woman sitteth. All right, so obviously that's a reference to Rome. But I want to point out here as far as the beast, we saw in Daniel 7 a couple of weeks ago, the final beast is what? Which empire? The final beast of the four in Daniel 7 is which empire? Rome. All right, so it's very important for us to understand that, because there are people who will totally miss that in relation to the Antichrist. So out of that fourth empire comes a blasphemous little horn. The little horn is the Holy Roman Empire, the papacy, as we understand this in Scripture. We're going to see this a little more clearly in Revelation 7 when we get to it here in 2 or 3 weeks. All right, so what about the United States? There's people who have asked over the years and have been a part of conversations in this, where does the United States fit in? Now, years ago, I would hear people say, well, so many people are going to be raptured out in the pre-tribulation rapture that America won't be any world power in the tribulation period. Again, when you understand that is rooted in Jesuit teaching, we have to totally set that aside. I am convinced that there's not going to be as many raptured out of America as we like to think. I want you to think about this. Some say that America will be absorbed into the European-based revived Roman Empire. That is, again, speculation. The revived Roman Empire has been around for hundreds of years when you study the history of this prophecy. The revived Roman Empire is the papacy. It is the little horn that comes out of the Roman Empire that ended in 476. Now, as far as the beastly system and what it affects, I want you to think about the beastly system that we saw here in Revelation 13 affects every area of life. Examples. First of all, economics. We'll see this here in a moment, depending on time here, but economics. It also affects our medical life, our medical privacy, all those things, as we see. The military. Talk about that here today. Politics, technology, corporations. We saw this here very recently with the OSHA mandates and all those kinds of things. And education. Just to give you a few examples. Notice to me 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Again, I'm laying a foundation here. And let me remind you that the reference to, I think it's in Revelation 12, it talks about the saints finding deliverance on eagle's wings. That's not America. You know, don't buy into all this stuff that is all rooted in speculation. That's private interpretations that the Bible warns us against. Notice this again in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. So there we're talking about unsaved. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Notice how Satan is described here. He's the what? God of this world. It's very important for us to take notice of this. In Ephesians 2:2, he's called the prince of the power of the air. Notice with me Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. In the context, I've shown you this before, but again, I'm laying a foundation here as far as the kingdoms of this world. Matthew 4, verse 8, in the context of the temptations of Jesus, notice in verse 8 it says, again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things. Now, here's Satan, a created being, telling the eternal Son of God, I'm going to give all this to you. All you have to do is fall down and worship me, which is exactly what he's wanted since day one of his fall in pride. All you have to do is fall down and worship me. You don't have to go to the cross. If he fully understood that, then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Now, I've heard preachers say, dispensational preachers say over the years, Jesus refused this, but there's coming an antichrist, one who's opposed to Christ, who will accept the offer. I agree with that to a point. I agree that antichrist isn't going to accept this. But the antichrist that they're talking about is not the 7-year tribulation antichrist, clear in the future. The antichrist that accepts Satan's offer is already on the throne in Rome. If we don't believe that, we need to see this. This is exactly what preachers preached more than 200 years ago. The antichrist is already found in Rome. In fact, they dealt with him. They dealt with the persecution that came from this. I want you to notice something else here. Isaiah 14. Isaiah chapter 14. Again, I want you to take notice of who Satan targets. Who does Satan go after to establish his empire? Whatever you want, the beast, his beastly kingdom. I want you to notice this, first of all, in Isaiah 14, and we'll see the other parallel passage in Ezekiel 28. Isaiah 14, verse 4, thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of where? Babylon, so one of the four beastly kingdoms in Daniel 7, and say, How hath the oppressor ceased, the golden city ceased. So Babylon here is described as an oppressor and a golden city. Drop down to verse 12 and following, which we often are familiar with as far as Lucifer. Now, what I want you to see here is in the context, we see here, this is the spiritual power behind the political power of Babylon. Now, let me remind you again, I told you that the beastly system, according to Revelation 13, is the uniting together of religion and politics into one. And that's happened in America because of 501c3 and all that. Notice it says here in verse 12 of Isaiah 14, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? All right, so in the midst of this prophecy here about Babylon and all that, notice Satan, Lucifer, is mentioned. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will. Notice again all his will, I will statements. This is presumptuous pride here. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I believe that the clouds there is a reference to God's glory, the glory cloud around his throne. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Remember we saw the pit, I think it was in Psalm 94. It says, they that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? Notice in relation to Lucifer, it talks about the kingdoms of this world, making the world as a wilderness and destroyed cities and all that. Also notice with me Ezekiel 28. Ezekiel 28, so we see in that context that Satan, Lucifer, is behind the king of Babylon, the Babylonian Empire. And even in Daniel, I think it's chapter 10, we see these angels, good and evil angels, seeking to control governments. The prince of Persia, you know, the prince of Grecia, and so on. So again, there's a spiritual battle that's taking place around us. To give us the context of this, Ezekiel 28, verse 1. Ezekiel 28, verse 1. I'm sorry, I was... where we're at the last hour, stopped at 22 instead of 28. Notice it says here, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, say unto the prince, the ruler of Tyrus, also known as Tyre in the Bible, T-Y-R-E. Thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a God. I sit in the seat of God. in the midst of the seas. So this is the ruler of Tyre. This is not the Antichrist. This is not the Pope, whatever. Yet thou art a man and not God, though thou set thine heart as the heart of God. Behold, thou art wiser than Daniel. This is his pride here. You're wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that they can hide from thee. With thy wisdom and with thine understanding, thou hast gotten thee riches and hast gotten gold and silver into thy treasures. By thy great wisdom and by thy traffic, thou hast increased thy riches, and thine heart is lifted up because of thy riches. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God, behold, therefore I will bring strangers upon thee, the terrible of the nations, and they shall draw their swords against the beauty of thy wisdom, and they shall defile thy brightness. Of course, we understand from history, Babylon was used to destroy the kingdom of Tyre. Drop down to verse 11. Verse 11 then. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus. All right, so again, we're talking about the ruler of Tyre, Tyre and Sidon, as we understand in Scripture. And say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Let me ask you, was the king of Tyre in the day of Ezekiel in the garden of Eden? Notice, thou hast been in Eden with the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, and the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets, so we see that he was created as a musical creature. Thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Again, Lucifer was a created being. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. That's not the king of Tyre. This is the spiritual influence behind the king of Tyre. But again, this is a prophecy against Tyre. So literally we see that Satan was using Tyre as the king of Tyrus as his king to conquer and so on. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. Let me ask you, when was the king of Tyrus in the mountain of God, heaven? He wasn't, but the spiritual influence behind him was. And I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. That they may know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou hast shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. Again, you notice here the spiritual influence behind the kingdoms. Let me mention this verse that we've looked at before. But John 12:31 says, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out." According to Revelation 12, Jesus Christ announced when Satan would be cast out. Now, let me ask you a question. How does Satan, the dragon in Revelation, establish his beastly system? How does he establish it? I wrote some things down as I've come across some things in my reading and study. First of all, Satan focuses on the most powerful governments in the world. Let me ask you, how much of a threat is a country, an island nation of Jamaica to the world? I mean, Cuba, borderline, but how much of a threat is a Pacific island nation like Tuvalu? How much of a threat to the world is a nation like that? And yet you think about it, look at history. The four beasts of Daniel 7, who did Satan target for his control? The most powerful nations of the day. In fact, the prophecies of Daniel 7 came when Greece and some of them were not powerful nations. they became powerful nations, God knew the end from the beginning. Satan focuses on the most powerful governments of the world. Another example, the British Empire, as I mentioned earlier. The British Empire in recent history has become really not, I mean, they disbanded it. They gave liberty to the nations. But again, it was said, the sun never sets on the British Empire. Britain became a very powerful nation. Let me point out something with that. Because of Christianity, Britain became a powerful nation. They abused that for their own purposes, I believe, as you look at history. So historically, we have Pax Romana. We have a Pax Britannica. And we have Pax Americana now. What does Pax mean? Peace. Pax Romana meant Roman peace. In other words, if you don't do what we say, you will not experience peace. If you do what we say, we'll peacefully coexist. The United States has become a target, I believe, of Satan. So am I saying that Satan sits in the White House? You want to think that? I'm not going to disagree with you. And I'm not talking about Joe Biden. I'm talking about the seat of Satan. Satan sits in Rome. But Satan is targeting powerful nations. The most powerful nation on earth for decades. Yay, almost 200 years now. Satan has been targeting this nation in which we live. That's not a thing of pride. Say, well, Satan is going to target the most powerful nations, the governments of the world. Why is it that Russia, China, America, these are the most powerful nations, so those are the ones that Satan's going to target? Second of all, how does he establish his beastly system? Controlling international corporations. That's exactly what we're seeing. Big tech, big banks, international corporations control the money flow of this world. We're talking about international banks, international tech companies and all that. They're enforcing all the mandates from big government. So, I mean, it's all working together. Also, thirdly, he corrupts religion. We now have mega churches that are embracing or at least tolerating the Roman Catholic Church. If indeed, as I've pointed out in Scripture, Rome is the beast of the last days, then we see, and we have to look for the link with the Roman Catholic Church as far as religion even. Where is Satan's seat today? Now, I've shown you in Revelation 2. Pergamos was said by Jesus Christ to be the seat of Satan. His throne was in Pergamos. I believe Satan moves his throne to wherever he has power on this earth. That's why I say America is a target for Satan himself. It's very interesting. Pope Francis, a Jesuit, I remind you, when he came to America and in other speeches he's given, there's three things in particular that he's emphasized, and I'm using this in particular for America today because of our emphasis. First of all, Pope Francis, when he came to America, I think, when was the last time, like 2015, something like that? When he came to America, he pushed for open borders for immigration. Why is he pushing for open borders for immigration? And by the way, I came across some things as far as Donald Trump. On the surface, he wants the wall. But in legislation, he wants open borders. Very interesting. He is a deceiver, folks. We need to realize that before we continue going down that path. Here's what's interesting. Pope Francis wanted open borders for immigration here in the United States. Why does he have the authority to suggest that? The reason he wants that is because he wants to flood America with Catholics from Mexico and Central America. The more Catholics they have in this country, the more they control this country. Why is Central America often called Latin America? Because of the Latin roots of the Roman Catholic Church. Catholicism, there's a Catholic origin and control of that region of the world. Another thing that he wanted, Pope Francis wanted, when he came to America, was socialism. He is portrayed as a pope who loves the poor. It's very interesting. Outside where his palace is, There's all kinds of poor and homeless people living outside the Vatican City. If he loves the poor, then why doesn't he give up his wealth to help the poor find a place to live? Socialism. That's exactly, he wants socialism. And it's interesting, he wants redistribution of wealth from wealthy nations like America. He wants all of this because he wants to take from us to give to the poor nations while he keeps all his money. Of course, all these politicians, they want to give away your money, but they're not going to give away their millions and billions. Also, he pushes environmentalism. Why environmentalism? Because that is one of the things that globalists are using to push their agenda. This environmentalism, this global warming, then global cooling, and then climate change, I mean, the terms change. They want a global government, a global economy, and a global religion. That's Rome. That's what Rome wants. Now, as far as America, I want to present information from an article that I came across. When you think of the beastly kingdoms of Daniel, you think of what? Military might. They conquered other nations and so on. Let me point out something here as far as America having an empire. This is taken from a global research article. It's Global Research is an organization in Canada. And this is taken from October 21, 2021. It's written by Lawrence Vance. How many are familiar with that name? You should be. He's author of the book, King James, His Bible, and His Translators. He's written a very thick book, one of my doctoral dissertation books that I used. I don't remember. It's like almost like 1,000 pages or something like that. The Other Side of Calvinism. He also has written Christianity and War, War, Christianity and the State, War, Empire, and the Military, The Making of the King James Bible, The Free Society, Gun Control and the Second Amendment, The War on Drugs is a War on Freedom, on and on the list goes. You read any of his books, you realize that he is a very thorough researcher. He's done some research on the military here in America. And as you read that article, you understand America has become a military empire. All right, you think back of all of the military campaigns that we've been involved in. They are all offensive, not defensive. Wait a minute. What about 9/11? We'll talk about that here in a moment. Again, we are establishing a Pax Romana. Here's some information about our Department of Defense. This information is based on a base structure report. I did not realize all this. This was an enlightening article that I read. Our real estate holdings, the real estate holdings of our military, all 50 states. All right, so that's the United States. 8 U.S. territories. All right, so they look for us for protection and all that. Do you realize that we have military bases in 45 foreign countries? Why? Well, it's for protection of our allies. That is absolutely not the reason. 45 foreign countries, 4,775 sites worldwide. Our military has around the world. I think I read China has one. We are building an empire and they're keeping it from us. Very interesting, Germany has 194 sites, Japan 121, including golf courses, and South Korea has 83 sites. Are we still fighting wars with them? Why do we have so many sites in those places? Our military is one of the largest real estate holders in the world. Why? 585,000 facilities and buildings, 26.9 million acres. Aren't you so glad that you've invested in 26.9 million acres with your tax money? The U.S. by far spends more money on the military than any other nation in the world. One article I read, 3 times as much as China. Think about that. Lawrence Vance goes on to say the presence of our military globally, 800 U.S. military bases in 80 countries. We're just talking about presence here, not land holdings. The United States has 95% of the world's foreign military bases. China has one, as I mentioned. 175,000 active duty U.S. troops, listen to this, in 170 countries and territories. Literally, we are in pretty much every country and territory around the world. Why? Our Constitution forbids that. What was it, 2 years? As far as the military allotment, 2 years, it's supposed to be, I think I have to do some reading on that again. 2 years. They designed it so we did not have a standing military. Why are we, that's where your money's going. Listen to this statement from Lawrence Vance. U.S. global empire of bases, he uses the word empire, bases and troops is a global force for evil. Its only purpose is to carry out an imperialistic, militaristic, reckless, belligerent, and meddling U.S. foreign policy that is not in the interest of the American people. End of quote. Do you realize in Kazakhstan and Ukraine and all that, Joe and Hunter Biden are involved. The man that Kazakhstan just put in prison, Joe, there's photos that have come out, Joe and Hunter Biden with him. Why are we meddling in all these things? We're going to have a World War III because we're meddling in things we don't need to be involved in as far as Russia and all that. While still president, Donald Trump told the graduating class of West Point on June 13, 2020, "We are ending the era of endless wars." That was a campaign promise of his in 2016. You know, war ended because of Donald Trump, right? Trump dropped more bombs and missiles than George W. Bush or Barack Obama in their first terms. He did not keep his promise. He dropped more bombs than the two presidents before him. That's the truth. George W. Bush used the planned 9/11 attacks to justify illegal wars. That's how we got the Patriot Act. The Patriot Act is not patriotic. I challenge you, do some reading on this. We've been duped, we've been deceived, because we believe what our deceptive government tells us. 9/11 attacks, probably, from what I've been reading, was actually not Afghanistan and all those people. Marxist Zionists were involved. Do you understand? Do you realize that Zionist Jews were told to stay away from the Twin Towers before they came down? Not only that, do you realize that after the Twin Towers came down, they hauled away truckloads of evidence? This is somebody who was a part of the government at the time, the investigators and so on at the time. He realized what was going on, and he's been telling about it. Here's what happened. They literally hauled away truckloads of evidence. It's very interesting. You do a study of history of this. Do you realize that an airplane hit the Eiffel Tower and it did not collapse? That's not the only time that's happened. Yet we're supposed to believe that these airplanes hit the Twin Towers and it dropped right where it was. Do you realize that is a demolition project? That was a demolition project. You do some reading on it. I challenge you. Don't be deceived any longer. Barack Obama won a Nobel Peace Prize before dropping more bombs than George Bush. Again, we've been deceived. We've been duped by the beast. Donald Trump said this about the Islamic State. When you get those terrorists, you have to take out their families. Say what? So we're for our beastly system here in America is for killing women and children along with the terrorists. It is a known fact that in Syria and all these places we've been dropping bombs. We've been dropping bombs in civilian areas. Yugoslavia, this is something I just learned here. Our beastly empire dropped bombs on a children's hospital to disrupt things in Yugoslavia. God help us, we have blood on our hands. By October 2017, Obama and Trump dropped more than 118,000 bombs and missiles on Iraq and Syria alone. They destroyed entire cities. I wonder how many women and children lived in those cities. Thousands of civilians were killed. Listen to this statement from the article. There's been an escalation escalation of systematic war crimes the United States has committed since 2001 under three presidents. He called them war crimes based on his research. The U.S. stopped publishing its monthly air power summary in February of 2020. It's interesting, they stopped publishing it. Trump dropped at least 20,000 bombs on Afghanistan alone. Here, over the last 20 years, is a summary of how much we have attacked other nations. An average of 46 strikes every day for 20 years. But we're ending wars. We're ending wars. We have been deceived. It's interesting, Joe Biden's administration just recently, after a full year, finally produced a report on how many bombs they've dropped. Here's something else that I found was interesting. Almost 75%, 3 out of 4 of the world's dictators receive U.S. weapons and military assistance from us. Did you hear what I just said? Dictators. So what are we talking about? A non-democratic nation. 42 out of 57 non-democratic nations receive weapons and military assistance from the United States. Why are we supporting governments like that? I thought we were a democracy. No, we're not. Israel is included on the list. They do not have democracy in Israel. They are not a democratic nation. They are a Marxist nation. They're told what to do. And Christianity is not permitted. It is illegal in Israel. Why are Christians supporting it then? Kazakhstan, that's also in the news right now. That may be a part of World War III, as they're saying. Several Islamic nations. Why are we sending military assistance to these places? Nations where there is no liberty. I think this is interesting. This is a link. It almost doesn't sound like it, but there's an article I came across. Is why is Trump's name in Jeffrey Epstein's little black book? You understand who Jeffrey Epstein was, right? A pedophile? Well, I was just a business associate. No. Don't believe Trump's lies about that. 14 years. He never, there's no record at all that he's ever said that he ended the friendship because of what he realized Jeffrey Epstein was up to. No, in fact, there's evidence that Donald Trump was with a 13-year-old arranged by Jeffrey Epstein. The wickedness in our government. Here's the link to the military. You understand that Maxwell, that just was sentenced, her father was an Israeli spy. This was a blackmail operation. There are things that we have not been told, and we believe the lies. Some of the names: Bill Clinton made repeated visits, Ted Kennedy, and on the list goes. That was a pedophile operation. Wickedness has been tolerated in our country for decades. We need to understand that. Now, I want you to go back just briefly here to Revelation 13, about the mark. I want to point out something here. I still believe there's some confusion about the mark. Speculation abounds, as I've said before. The internet is filled with attempts to identify the mark of the beast. In fact, there's a statement I wrote down from a website. I'm not going to say what it is because they also teach false doctrine on there. Very interesting. They identify the beast, but they teach false doctrine. The latest news on Mark of the Beast. Welcome to, we give the website, a website totally dedicated to the topic, the Mark of the Beast. Totally dedicated, this entire website, to the Mark of the Beast. We answer the frequently asked questions as well as present the latest news on Mark of the Beast. This is some sign of the times, in other words. Let me just quickly give you some ideas about the Mark of the Beast. The Seventh-day Adventists say this is Roman Catholicism making Sunday worship into a law. Don't be fooled. Seventh-day Adventists do not observe the Sabbath like the Jews did. First of all, if they didn't observe the Sabbath, they were to be stoned. I've not heard of any Seventh-day Adventists stoning anyone. This quote, Sunday keeping must be the mark of the beast. So again, that's false. The focus of Revelation 13 is on a beast, not on a day of worship, a day. Also, some say it's an embedded microchip, digital tattoo, the digital ID, digital passes, all of those things. That's all speculation. Did you hear what I just said? It's all speculation. We need to stop speculating about prophecy. Because of this speculation, we have ruled out other possibilities of the mark, allowing the mark to be implemented, and we're totally missing it. We don't even see that the mark is already here, folks. Does that mean then that an unbeliever who refuses the digital implant will be saved? Well, I'm not going to let you put that in my arm. He's an unbeliever. But he's a part of the beastly system because he's not believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. So again, we need to understand that it is a spiritual mark. I want to point this out here. As I said 2 weeks ago, Satan has his counterfeit of God's mark. Again, the sealed in the forehead of the 144,000. Also, mark in Scripture is not always a literal physical mark. I gave you two illustrations. Well, I'm giving you two illustrations today. Revelation 16 talks about marking false teachers. Does that mean I'm supposed to go mark their forehead so we recognize them as a false teacher? No, obviously not. I'm to identify them. The mark is an identifier. Philippians 3:17 says that we are to mark good examples to follow. All right, so man, you're a good example, so let me mark you so that all of our people know who to follow. That's not a literal physical mark. It is a spiritual mark. Here's why I say this. Notice with me, I've got the reference here. Revelation 14, verses 9 through 11. We just saw this last week. You notice, first of all, here, receiving the mark is an unpardonable sin. Let me ask you, where in the Bible does it say having a chip put in your hand is an unpardonable sin? Okay, well, maybe that's the mark. No, that's speculation. It is a spiritual thing. It is an unpardonable sin. That means it's spiritual. Again, the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark, notice all of those have to be true, in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels, in the presence of the Lamb. Notice, they suffer forever because of receiving a digital implant. No, it's the mark. It's the identifier of the system. Verse 11, the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they have no rest day or night, and so on, that worship the beast. Also, let me point out something here in chapter 15, verse 2. I saw, as it were, the sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass having the harps of God. I mentioned a couple weeks ago, it's all four that are indicated here, not just this mark. Chapter 20 and verse 4, Revelation 20 and verse 4. I saw thrones, and they sat upon them. Judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Final one, chapter 19, verse 20. Receiving this mark opens you up to deception. Revelation 19, 20 says, the beast was taken, with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive in the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. Let me ask you, implanting a digital chip in your hand, how is that going to open you up to deception? That's why I've studied this out, I believe it is a spiritual mark. However, I want you to think about this. The master deceiver at work has been working full time. Satan wants confusion about this mark. And I'm relating this to America for a reason. Satan wants confusion to prevail so that he can deceptively lead people to accept the mark of the beast. He causeth all to receive the mark. I believe this is similar to Daniel 3. It says everyone was to bow before the beastly system of, you know, the statue, represented by the statue of King Nebuchadnezzar. Here's two key things we have to note about the mark. First of all, who institutes the mark? This is the little horn out of the fourth beast, which is Rome. So, if you want to find out what the mark is, find the source. So let me remind you of this. Donald Trump was trained at Fordham University, a Jesuit university. Dr. Anthony Fauci did not only go to a university, Jesuit university, he also went to a high school, was Jesuit. The CDC director was trained by Jesuits. Joe Biden is a Catholic. 6 out of 9 of the Supreme Court justices are Catholic now. And just out of curiosity, I was curious about this as far as Congress. Approximately 1/3 of Congress are Roman Catholics. Find the source. It is Rome. For centuries, the Roman Catholic Church has controlled buying and selling. There's the second thing to take notice of. Anything from Rome that limits buying and selling, it is the mark. It is an identifier. We're not talking about whether or not it's a chip in the hand or a digital tattoo. It's the identifier of the system. The mark, if it controls the ability to buy or sell. Back in Revelation 13, verse 16 and 17. He causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. And that no man might buy or sell, save that he have the mask. I mean the vaccine passport. I mean, if it controls buying and selling, it's a part of the system. Or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. So notice again here, the two things to pay attention to. Who institutes the mark, Rome, and the control over buying and selling. And as I pointed out a couple weeks ago, the Roman Catholic Church has controlled buying and selling for centuries. In other words, they would threaten excommunication for those who would help those who have been declared to be heretics. I mean, let me just kind of give you some evidence here. Hundreds of universities require a vaccine to attend classes. It's from the beast. A CDC document from, again, a Jesuit, the director, July of 2020, before warp speed was instituted. Did you hear that? They established green zones, and basically it's a shielding initiative for high-risk people. So who's high-risk people? If you've not had the vaccine, you're high risk. You're high risk. Intern camps for the high risk, like Australia. They have plans since July of 2020 to round up anyone who resists the vaccine. And, as I already pointed out earlier, they're establishing, on the government level at this point, those who have religious exemptions. Also interesting, COVID-19 exposure notification apps came into play for smartphones to notify you on your cell phone, your smartphone, when you're getting close to somebody who has been diagnosed. I mean, you got a positive test. You're too close. Why is that necessary? Well, you know, the social distancing, all that. None of this stuff we've ever done in any flu epidemic or anything like that. It's on purpose. It is planned. Oh, it's planned more than you realize. It's planned more than you realize. The Trump administration in March of 2020, near the beginning of the pandemic, said that the Department of Health and Human Services, the Department of Health and Human Services established rules requiring doctors and hospitals to send medical data to third-party apps after patient authorization. Let me ask you, honest confession here. How many of you have always read every word of those things you sign? Millions of people sign those things. And so you get a test. Everybody in town knew that you couldn't smell or taste. Where's the privacy in America? It was sent to third-party apps. Google, Apple, and Microsoft were part of those meetings with our government leaders. Talking about Google, they secretly harvested tens of millions of medical records, including lab results, diagnoses, immunization records, prescriptions for thousands of hospitals in 21 states. It was called Project Nightingale. It's a project with Ascension, a Catholic healthcare system of 26 hospitals, doctor's offices, and other facilities. Follow the link. It's Rome. It's Rome. Dr. Fauci, in April of 2020, wow, this is way back at the beginning, called for certificates of immunity. Papers, please. We don't see the link between Nazism and the Jesuits. August of 2021, this is the latest stat that I could come up with. American Hospital Association reported that 1,500 hospitals, 25% of the total, and medical centers were requiring all employees to get COVID vaccines to keep their jobs. The federal government threatened to withhold funds. Again, here's the power source. Threatened to withhold funds for those who did not comply. SCOTUS upheld that mandate. And there's more even now. People who have been refused organ transplants because they didn't have the mark. Remember the St. Vincent volcano? The unvaccinated were not allowed to evacuate on cruise ships. As we close, notice Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. You want to keep your job? You've got to get jabbed. Again, here's the two things to watch for. Look for Rome connection, the Rome connection, and whether or not they control buying, selling, employment, anything like that. I think it was Colorado, if I remember right, that even stated that hospitals had the authority to refuse patients to ER or whatever who are not vaccinated. That's here in America. Philippians 3, verse 20. Our conversation is in heaven. It's very interesting doing a study on that word conversation. It's what we get our English word politics from. Polit-yuma. Aren't you impressed? Politics is easier to say. Notice, our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to even to subdue all things unto himself. We saw last week or two, Acts 17:7, saying that they that have turned the world upside down serve another king, Jesus. You see, we have a different king than this world system. We have a dual citizenship. That's why Jesus says, to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Why is it that we have been so worried about buying and selling when the Lord said that's exactly what was going to happen? We're shot? When our government says if you don't get a shot, if you don't have the mask? Can I point out something? Oh, I guess this goes back to the Heil Hitler! Are we the one standing in the crowd? Or are we raising our arms? Hailing our government leaders. You see, it's coming down to the point where we have to decide, where is our loyalty? Who is our king? Capital K. I just read in 1 Timothy 6 here this morning. The blessed and only potentate. He is, not will be. He's not waiting to sit on the throne. He's already there, the Bible says. He is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Father, I pray that you'd help us to get our loyalties and our focus in the right place. Father, if you're the King of our lives, you will provide for your subjects. And we've been so focused on a coming Antichrist that we've missed that the beast is already here and is already enforcing a mark, an identifier of the beastly system. So Lord, I pray that you'd help us to stop bowing to another king.
Lord, the divided loyalties that we have shown in modern day Christianity is scary. Lord, we've had it here in America so easy for so long. We have forgotten or we don't know how to stay true to you. When our government tells us to do things that are contrary to your word. Lord, strengthen us. Help us to stand firm in these last days. To not bow. To not bow. Lord, it's a spiritual issue. It's a spiritual issue. Help us to be faithful. Do you pray in Jesus' name? Amen.